Message today comes from the book of Genesis, and in your hearing, I'd like to read from the King James Version, Genesis chapter 18, verse 11 to verse number 14. Genesis chapter 18, verse 11 to verse number 14. Hear the word of the Lord. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Verse 13 of Genesis 18. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. At the time appointed, I will return to you, and Sarah shall have a son. The part of the text, or rather the part that we wish to focus on today, is that part in the form of a question that asks, is anything too hard for the Lord? Verse number 14. God had great plans for Abraham. He called him and he promised him to make of him a great nation. He promised to make him a blessing to all the nations of the world, that Abraham will become such that whoever blesses him would be blessed of God, and whoever curses him will be cursed of God. This promise holds good to this very day. But while these promises in Genesis 12 sounded very encouraging, Abraham and his wife Sarah were getting up in years. So how would God work around the age gap? How would he deal with the age factor? Would nature work against the divine plan? Beloved, when God has a plan, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing that can work against its fulfillment. Nothing is ever too hard for God. Let us release the Almighty to work out his plan in us. His will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. This should be our daily prayer, asking him for his will to be done in us as it is done in heaven. Since Sarah had reached the ripe old age of 90 years, she was promised that she would be able to give birth to a child. And God fulfilled his word to her, and she gave birth to a healthy child at age 90, according to Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 17. The child's name was Isaac, and incidentally, his name means laughter. Sarah, at an old age, gave birth to the amazement of some, and to the amusement of others. Yes, I mentioned his name was called Isaac, meaning laughter. But Isaac was verily the son of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. And to the father of this bundle of laughter, Isaac, Abraham, at the age of 100 years, chapter 21 and verse 5, became a father. Is there anything too difficult for God to do? When He, the Almighty, has promised to do it, the degree of difficulty has nothing to do with Him who made the heavens and the earth and the planets and everything in this world. He does not respect what man sees as difficulty. That is not in His vocabulary. Nothing is too hard for Him. If you only believe, you shall see the glory of God, He told those sisters of Lazarus in John 11 and 40. Our responsibility is to keep on believing in the Almighty, in His word, His promises to us, and in His timing. In His time, He will deliver whatever He has promised. He is ever so faithful. Ask yourself the question. He asked Abraham, that man of faith, that one who was a friend of God, is anything too hard for the Lord? And while we are in the first of the 52 weeks of this year, 2025, let us console and strengthen ourselves with these words of faith and power, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. You may be wondering about the future. Maybe you are trembling in fear as you look down the corridor of time and you wonder what is ahead. But I want you to know that God is able to prevail over all difficulties. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with Him. I heard firsthand from an evangelist several years ago who had a woman and her two sons converted to Christ in one of his tent meetings in those good old days. He encouraged the woman to bring her husband the following night to the meeting so that he too could get saved and they'll be one happy family together. Her reply to the evangelist was, "My husband is a hard nut to crack." The evangelist replied to her saying that God is an experienced nutcracker. Needless to say, that husband came and got saved because nothing is too hard for God to do. Here is a list of at least 6 or 7 things God is able to do. And I want you to pay attention to them because one of them might be fitting in your case, your situation, your family, your course of life. There is nothing too difficult for God. I'm not going to count them, but I'm going to mention them, and as you listen, you will decide and point them out. In Hebrews 7 and 25, the Bible says, God is able to save them to the uttermost that come to Him by Christ. God is able to save by Christ those who come to Him. Realize that He's able to save all who come to Him through Jesus Christ. Don't give up on that family member. They might appear to be a hard nut to crack, but remember, God is an experienced nutcracker. God is able to touch him or her. Nothing, no one is too hard for him to reach and to save. Remember, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And also remember that for a lost family member, acquaintance, or friend to spend eternity in condemnation and damnation, remember, eternity is a long, long, never-ending time. A long time to be suffering in torment. Could we sit comfortably with such a thought of someone we love and care for suffering eternally, non-stop, non-ending, in torment? There the worms die not. There the fire is not quenched. We need to ask the Lord for the souls of our loved ones, for the youths who roam about aimlessly, for the addicts, for the perverts of today, for the religious who do not know the only Savior. They have religion, but they don't have salvation. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Those and all who like sheep have gone astray and turn everyone to his or her own way. The Lord has laid on Christ the iniquity of them all, and he is willing to respond to them positively if they turn to him in repentance and ask his forgiveness. Christ is able to save them to what, regardless of whatever extreme they have gone to, and no matter how far they have drifted away from him, he can save. He will save in answer to prayer. He will deliver. When they call, he will answer. And when you call, he will answer on their behalf. He is able to save them and bring them to a knowledge of his goodness. O Lord, we pray, draw this family member, draw these family members closer to you, closer to the cross, closer to the foot of Calvary. May they cry out to you for mercy, for if they call for mercy, you will show them mercy. Yes, he's able to save them to the uttermost. God is also able to help and deliver those who are tempted. Temptations, the flesh struggling with the spirit, wrong, fighting to overpower right. Satan engaging the Christ in us. No one is exempted from the viciousness of the satanic attacks of temptation. Such temptations are sharp and keen. They come at the time when we seem most vulnerable. But remember, if you resist the devil, he's going to flee from you. Jesus succors us. He helps us. He assists us. He delivers us in the hour of temptation. You do not stand alone when you stand with Christ and face temptation. When you stand on Christ's side, when you stand on Christ's word, when you stand on Christ's promises. Remember that Jesus himself also was tempted in all points, And because he was tempted in all points like we are, he knows what we are facing and what you are facing. Resist the devil. Stand on the word. Speak the word. Cling to the Savior. Hide in him. He helps. He delivers. He succors those who are tempted. Hebrews 2:18. Then he's able to make all grace abound. In 2 Corinthians 9:8. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is God giving us, in the good sense, what we do not really deserve, or what we do not have the right or entitlement to. In other words, we should not be receiving such from God because we don't deserve it. But God, in his grace, gives us his blessing and his mercy and his forgiveness so freely. There is a passage in, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. It says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I recall this, I'm sure I was just above teenage years when I used to listen to a program called Back to the Bible. And one of the speakers, I don't know if it was Mr. Epp or one of them, said, and I quote from memory, he said, a free translation of Romans 5:20. And let me give you it again so that you could tie it together. Romans 5:20. It says, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That speaker on the Back to the Bible broadcast that day, as I recall from memory, he said that that verse could be freely translated as such, quote, where sin had reached its high watermark, grace completely overflowed it, end of quote. Yes, this is what the amazing grace of God does for every penitent sinner and every saint. Yes, we become in need of the grace of God to lift us up from and out of any miry clay in which we may find ourselves. Yes, we run to the Savior for grace. We run to him for refuge because we know he's able to make all grace abound to the penitent, the broken and contrite heart. God will never despise. He will never reject. He will never ignore. He only asks that we come to him with a penitent heart. Yes, he calls. He waits. He longs. He pleads. He stands there, as it were, at the door. Isn't there a scripture that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Yes, Jesus is not only waiting, but he's beckoning and he's saying, come, come today. Tomorrow is not yours. Today is yours. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the moment for pardon. Now is the time for you to be released from all the guilt of the past, the sin of the past. Yes, God is able to supply grace enough to blot out your sins, all of them. His grace abundeth more. And where sin has reached its high water mark, His grace comes and completely overflows it. Next, God is able to subdue all things to Himself. Philippians 3 and 21. Nothing could be more explicit than this. He is able to subdue all things to Himself. He never loses any battle. No one, no situation has ever challenged Him with any degree of success. He asks, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain." Yes, you shall become level ground mountain. You will be uprooted and be cast into the depths of the sea. Such, friend, is the greatness of the power of God Almighty, the God in whom we trust, the God whom we preach, the God whom we lift up. He is able to subdue all things. Philippians 3 and 21. What is the mountain that stands before you this hour? Say to it, be removed, be cast into the sea, be rooted up, be cast down. Because God the Almighty has crushed you, O great mountain. You are a spent force. You have lost before you began the race. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Christ is able to subdue all things. Yes, all things. They include whatever is a thing that is challenging you at this hour. Christ is bigger than, and not only bigger than, but He's able to subdue that thing. And now, this one is in Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 17. And also Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 20. Just a couple of words. God is able to deliver. I could say that again and again. God is able to deliver. Daniel 3 and 17 and Daniel 6 and 20. Are you in some difficult situation financially, physically, socially, legally, spiritually, whatever? Hear what the record says. God is able to deliver because nothing is too difficult for Him. So let us worship Him as the God who is able to deliver. And there is no condition per se to what and what He could deliver you from and what He could handle in your situation. God is able to deliver. He is a deliverer, and He can bring you out if you so desire Him to bring you out. Then we have heard, you have heard us say many times on this program, heard it over and over again, Ephesians 3 and 20, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You cannot begin to think of the great things God is able to do for us and for others. No weapon that is formed against you and me shall prosper. God is so great, he will turn those weapons against those who are sending them our way. Let us not limit the Holy One of Israel. All power belongs to him, and he will not hesitate to use his power against the ones who are seeking to hurt or to strike or to injure his own. He is capable of doing exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Hallelujah. And if something inside of you is telling you that God is able, believe it. God is able. That's a good thing speaking to you, at least on this occasion. Then according to 1 Timothy 1 and 12, the Bible says, he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him up to and beyond that day. In other words, he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him forever. He keeps, he preserves. You will not lose anything when you have entrusted that thing to him. You lose your sins when you commit them to him, and he takes care of them and he doesn't remember them anymore because he cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness. Yes. Your eternal soul is in safe keeping once you have put your soul into his hand. He is able to keep what you have committed to him, keeping it safely, friend, keeping it for eternity. Fear not. Your soul is safe in the hand of God. But the psalmist who said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is what happens when you commit your soul into the hand of God. Many of you listening to me have already done so, and you're not sad about it. You're happy. You're joyful. You're thankful that you made such a decision. And you're walking in the freedom of Christ. And you're walking in the liberty of the sons of God. You're walking in peace. Fear not. Your soul is safe in the hand of the Lord. And here, that loved one who you've often thought about and you've often wondered about, you will be able to see them again because they made the decision and committed their soul into the hand of Jesus. You will see them again, and you too will find a safe place in the arms of Jesus. Let us trust him, and let us rely on him, because he's able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. And finally, he's able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding great joy. Keep you from falling? Yes, Jude 24. You will make it through, sister, brother. You will make it. You will make it to the end. You will enter into his gates with flying colors and shouts of praise and great success, because he's able to keep you from falling. He is able to preserve you. So friends, in God, in Jesus Christ, we have a friend. We have a helper who has all the ability, and nothing, Nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for him to do. And he's our friend. He's our God. So we have our past, our cares, our life, our future, our all. We have cast them all on him. And we know that with him, we are safe. So, beloved, we want to thank you for being with us today. And we hope that you will understand that the new year is nothing for you to be afraid of. The Lord God is with you, whithersoever you go.